remembering that we have wisdom and we have skill and we have agency and dignity. All of those things live in our body. They're not just in our head.
Hi, welcome to Resonate, Conversations and Life Lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I'm your host, Barry. As I prepared for today's interview, it took me back to my time in school, especially in college when I studied pre-med, anatomy, and how our body works. I realized that our body is amazing, and the more I live in this body, the more I realize what a miracle it really is. Our guest today points out that our body does not act alone. It's spirit, mind, and body. As cliche as that sounds, when those three relationships are optimized, we are healthier people. My guest today is an exercise and movement specialist, Tom McCook. Tom has been teaching in this realm for 40 years. He has advanced training in Pilates, the Franklin Method, somatic training, and Feldenkrais. Tom's approach to the whole being makes sense to me. Get ready to expand your understanding. Where are you coming from today, Tom? I always like to find out where people are coming from.
I am in Moss Beach, California, which is about a half an hour south of San Francisco on the coast, on the water. A very rural place that's also close to the city. Beautiful little location. It's also the home of Mavericks waves, Maverick surf waves. So the big wave surfers surf about a mile from my house.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I watch. I don't participate.
Yeah, I'm good at watching sports, not so much at playing them. So would it be fair to say that you are a movement specialist?
Yes, I would say that's a good description for sure. I've been full-time in the field of fitness, Pilates, body work, meditation, coaching for over 40 years. So which kind of dates me, you know.
I was thinking today, I've been doing fitness for 40 years also. So it kind of dates me a bit too. So now the three areas that I've read that you kind of specialize in is Pilates, the Franklin Method, and you're also a somatic educator. Okay, so I think most people kind of understand what Pilates is. Like me, probably some people who are in the industry might have heard of the Franklin Method, but we don't know what the Franklin Method is. Was there a person named Frank? What is the Franklin Method?
It's a guy named Eric Franklin, who's a Swiss-American. He's in his late 60s, and he comes from a dance background and an artist and just a brilliant educator. And he combined understanding of the body based on evolution with imagery, the study of imagery and movement. So our body is, you know, if you look at our body from an evolutionary perspective, it's brilliantly designed, and it's designed primarily to be efficient in terms of movement and gravity, how we move, how we relate to gravity, how we run, walk, breathe. If you learn skillful ways of just understanding that in a practical way that's accessible, and then you apply that information to movement and experience, you can improve function. So I've resonated with that. I've been teaching it for over 20 years, and I have always found when I'm teaching a class, I'm always in the question, how do I level the playing field for everybody in the class? So it's not just the people that already move well that get the best benefit from the class, but everybody.
I did notice you mentioned that the gentleman, Franklin, he looks at the body through evolution and how it was made to work. So that almost assumes that we reach this part where our body has evolved to a point where now we're good and we should be able to continue. Do you think that's true, or do you think that evolution can go the other direction? I think as much time as we're sitting at computers and desks and driving cars and doing things that are like anti-body friendly.
I totally agree. And I think that's what we're up against. Our body is not designed to sit all day. It's not designed to be on a handheld device all day. We're actually designed to move, and to move a lot. The issue is that if somebody's been sitting and they have imbalances and then they go do hard exercise that might be good if you're balanced, they run into problems. They get injured. It doesn't feel good, so they're not looking forward to it. So they need to back it up a little bit and learn how to mobilize their body, release tension, and use themselves in a way that they're more curious about how they're doing the exercise instead of how many or how hard it is. So the body is really smart that way. The body doesn't want to be beat up. You know, and we've been taught that how we look is more important than how we feel. And, you know, you get to a certain age where you don't buy that story anymore because your body's talking back.
Or it's also not very, positive just to keep buying that because our bodies start to, you know, age.
Yeah, and they break down. And your body will regenerate. Mm-hmm. You know, I've healed many injuries. I've trained a lot of people that have come in with injuries. And they've learned how to do stuff that their body will heal and become functional again. And that's inspiring. So you, from an aging perspective, you want to learn some stuff. Well, what do I need to do on a daily basis to keep my joints healthy? Mm-hmm. You know, your joints are all synovial joints, meaning that they only get lubrication through movement. Mm-hmm. That's the nutrition for the joints. And we don't tend to do that. If we're sitting all day, we're becoming more of a compression model. We're just getting a little more compressed with gravity. And if you move all your joints, you're actually decompressing your body. And it doesn't have to be hard, aggressive stuff. You can do that if you want. I think a little bit of strength work is actually really important also. Mm. But you also want to prepare your body for the strength work. The other part of the Franklin Method is how you use imagery to improve your experience. So imagery, we're using it all the time. It could be metaphorical imagery, like you could think of your muscles as fluid with water. You can think of anatomical imagery, but for an anatomical image, when I'm teaching, the person has to have a little bit of information about that part of their anatomy. Otherwise, it's just information that creates confusion. So part of the lessons that I teach is give people an understanding of their body through touch and movement so then they can direct their attention. Then you could use an anatomical image in that area of the body. And another nice way to think of your body is your body's perfect all the time. Meaning that it's only picking the best choice that it can sense. It would never pick anything else. So our job as we age is to give our nervous system and our body better choices and have it register. And the only way it's going to register is by slowing down a little bit and bringing our attention to what we're working on.
Right.
But I think, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, I have an attention problem. I think that might be true, but a lot of times people don't have a clear picture of what to put their attention on.
Right.
If you give them a clear place to put their attention and then direct their senses, their touch, their movement to that part of their body, they're amplifying their attention, and then they can really heal themselves. They can help themselves quite a bit with seemingly simple movements. Then you get a little more curious about doing things that aren't necessarily really hard but make you feel better right away.
So the word, I like the word imagery. Is it the same thing as visualization or is it similar?
Similar. It's like imaging that your shoulders are balloons. Mm-hmm. And just imagine I'm going to let my shoulders float up and float down. So that would be a metaphorical image because it's not real, but it can create a positive change.
Right.
And you know, we're all imaging all the time. Unfortunately, in our world, we're imaging usually in a negative perspective. Negative imagery is when we're judging ourselves, the weather, the economy, and that's also having an effect on our body. And that's probably the elephant in the room for everybody is the negative imagery that's part of our world.
Right.
So if you can bring positive imagery around how to breathing well, like we have the lung capacity of three people. Your lungs, if you spread them out on a tennis court, we'd cover the whole tennis court. That's why we can get away with bad breathing for half our life, because we have such lung capacity. Right. But if you give people a little bit of information about how the lungs and the diaphragm work, they can improve their lung capacity, which lowers their stress level, lowers shoulder and neck tension, and just simple things that upgrade function.
Right. Now, I'm going to go back a minute. You mentioned that our bodies aren't made to be sitting and all day, being in cars, on computers. So is there an ideal amount of movement that a person should be doing a day? And what do you tell someone who has a desk job where they're on the computer all day?
Couple of things. That's a really great question. I tell them one thing. If you're going to be sitting, let's practice sitting well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's learn to sit up on your sit bones and have your head over your pelvis. So you're at least in the perfect, you're in good alignment in relationship to gravity while you're sitting. And then on your phone or on your computer, put in a 5-minute movement break every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just, and that's reasonable for people
that
to do.
That is reasonable, yeah.
You know, 3 to 5 minutes, get up, move your hips, move your spine, take a few deep breaths, maybe do a few forward bends, a couple squats. something where you're doing it mindfully, and it'll not only make your body feel better, it will shift your mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get you out of excessive thinking, because as you know, thinking is a little overrated.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to hang out in our head all the time. We want to get into the life of our body. Or like I mentioned about evolution, our body has like a few billion years of intelligence in it around how to actually be in our environment, how to sense ourselves, how to tap into what's important to us, remembering that we have wisdom and we have skill and we have agency and dignity. All of those things live in our body. They're not just in our head.
I can't help thinking of, when I hear you talk about the Franklin method, there must be some similarities to Feldenkrais. I mean,
there is.
Yeah.
I'm a Feldenkrais practitioner too.
Oh, well, that makes sense now. Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah.
The difference with Moshe Feldenkrais was a judo expert who was also a physicist who had a life-threatening accident where he got paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And through micro movement and attention, he healed himself. He rewired his nervous system for movement. Mm-hmm. So the Feldenkrais is similar, where you'll do lessons on each area of the body, where you learn how to move and relate to gravity in a very efficient way. What I liked more about the Franklin method is it's a little more systematic, and I just found the pedagogy of how it's taught a little more accessible for everyone, where it's not amorphous, where you're on the ground. Like, you'll have a lesson specifically on the spine. You'll have a lesson on your hips. You'll have a lesson on the shoulders. And then we'll do it in a way where the person can process that information, whether they're a beginner or an advanced movement practitioner. And I found that super helpful. And I've used it in teacher trainings for Pilates for the last 25 years. And I think it's the missing link, that you got to give people an understanding of their body and how to direct their attention. Otherwise, it's still just exercise.
Right. And I mean, attention is just seems like such a problem these days, just in general. So
it is, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Do you, in your practice, is there some common movement patterns that you find people can improve on?
Yes. Yeah. Like, one thing, as you know, I'm sure you're well aware of this too, is we've lived most of our lives, for all of us, with our feet stuffed in shoes. And our feet, like our hands, are sense organs.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, if you think of the parts of your body that have the most neural connection, your hands, your feet, your genitals, your mouth, your eyes, they're relegated to a tremendous amount of nerves, because they're designed to sense our environment for balance, for choices, for survival. But if your feet are stuffed in shoes, that has been dumbed down and inhibited. So balance problems have a lot to do with not working with the feet. So getting people to work with their feet, we're like rolling out their feet with a ball and learning about their foot points. You have three key foot points on your foot: the ball behind your big toe, the ball behind your little toe, and your heel. You can think of like a triangle on each foot.
Right.
And just learning to put weight evenly on those three foot points when you stand is a huge, huge improvement, because it doesn't just improve your balance.
Right.
It helps all of the bones above your foot stack better. From your feet to your head, you're giving your body the possibility to be in better alignment. So I would say working with the feet, working on balance, but also the movement patterns that I see, people are not that aware of their posture.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they're either their head's a little forward of their body because they spend so much time looking at their screen or their phone. And the head's heavy. The head weighs like 10 to 12 pounds. So if you take that bowling ball and you move it a little bit in front of you, that's creating more tension in the spine, and it's shutting down the information a little bit. But you can do some amazing quick changes just by being curious and understanding how to, okay, I'm going to make posture and how I relate to gravity important to me.
You almost make it sound like the whole body's connected. Is that true?
I would say.
Yeah. Interesting concept. Yeah. So what happens in your feet affects all the way up.
All the way up. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And you're connected to the ground. Like another concept, like from somatics. Somatics is really just means your life in its wholeness, including your body, the intelligence of your body, your history, your wounds, your learning. But we're the only animal that stands upright on two feet on the planet.
Yeah.
So we're designed to be connected to the earth from our feet, aligned with gravity.
Right.
And then we're more, that brings us into a much more natural place of who we are.
How long do you think it takes to change a pattern that we have? For example, someone who has some posture problems, like shoulders forward, head forward, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, anterior or posterior pelvic tilts. Mm-hmm. How much training and how much time does it take to change that? And like for some people, I look at them and I think, boy, it would break them to pull their shoulders back to that spot.
I think that's a great question. I think it depends on their current state, like how far they've been in this position, but also if they're willing to do a little bit daily.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't take, it just think of it as posture as an event instead of a fixed position.
Okay.
Like posture is a relationship with gravity. Mm-hmm. If I'm willing to like just approach that relationship and make it important, it'll gradually change. And then if they do a little bit, there's some specific things they can do. If they do 5 to 10 minutes a day,
mm-hmm.
in a month, they're going to see a big change. They might see a change even in a couple of weeks, but think of in terms of learning, I can do it when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not thinking about it, I go back to my old pattern.
Right.
To get to where you're in that new posture without having to think about it might take, you know, a few months.
Right.
But of concerted effort, but they need to hold that in their intentions that they're doing it regularly. And they're doing it as part of their workout too, that they're including that awareness of posture, not just doing the exercises.
I'm making two assumptions, that your body is happier when it's in proper posture and in alignment, but also are there genetic factors involved that makes my happy posture a little better than yours and your...
I would say
not better, but different.
A little different. I mean, there are differences in the curves of the spine based on, you know, where you're from in the world, but our alignment is basically the same. But
okay.
the curves of the spine might be a little deeper in certain populations than other, but we're designed to have our head over our pelvis. We're designed to be aligned with gravity, so all the bones are evenly stacked.
Mm-hmm.
We're designed to have the weight on our feet in an even way. So that way your muscles are designed more for movement than to just hold you up.
Right.
If you're in an imbalanced posture, those moving muscles are being used to hold you up and they build a lot of tension.
Right.
And then we're a little bit shut down in our awareness. When we have too much tension, we can't sense ourselves as well.
A term that you've used several times already, and I've read it before too, is our relationship with gravity. It sounds like, you know, like all relationships, it can go one way or another. What is the importance of the relationship with gravity? What is it exactly do you mean by the relationship with gravity?
So gravity is the force that's actually pushing down, and it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, if you're aligned with gravity, gravity is helping you keep your bones strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a force that we're pushing against. If we're out of alignment with gravity, it's creating more accelerated aging. It's actually compressing body parts. And then whatever position we're in, our body is developing tissue and bone and muscle to deal with that slightly out of aligned position because it needs to work harder. So when you're walking, a nice thing that's really true is the ground is pushing you back as much as you're pushing it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have this energy transfer. So there's always that relationship with ground force when we're walking and the force of gravity from above. And those are relationships that you want. It's 24/7.
Right.
That you can start to pay attention to based on how you're feeling. Like if I'm standing, you can notice if you're a little misaligned by certain parts of your body might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe your lower back feels a little uncomfortable, or your shoulders and neck are feeling a little bothered because your head's a little forward. So those are all informants that what's happening in relationship to gravity is slightly off.
There's a lot of programs out there. I mean, I won't name it specifically, but there's a lot of boot camp and, you know, hard, intense workouts. And I feel like when I go to one of those workouts, a lot of the time, my body is not in line with gravity. And mm-hmm. then I'm asking it to do really hard things when it's not aligned with gravity. Is that a problem?
I think it is. I think you can get away with it, but I think we're going a little more into survival.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get through this because it's suffering and hard. And I think, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with any exercise, but I do question some of the philosophies behind the system.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were in the wild and you're hunting or you're gathering, you're running, you wouldn't do something until you were completely exhausted and wasted with the idea that that's going to make you better.
Right.
I question that. That's what I question about a lot of these systems. Like training till failure is a little bit against your design.
Right.
Yeah. Like I don't think it's actually that healthy, because I think in terms of the world being kind of having a lot of uncertainty and stress. So people are already living inside of higher cortisol levels. We're a little bit stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go do real high cortisol workouts that are really stressful.
Right.
So where's the restoration? I think inside of your workouts, there should be some element of restoration where you become internally relaxed, where you learn how to actually feel yourself and have, there's a calmness inside. I think you can train for strength and be internally relaxed.
Wow, what a concept.
Well, yeah.
I like, you always seem very relaxed to me, so.
Mm.
Hi, I'm Carol Jones. I'm from Toronto, Canada, and I've been coming to the ranch for a very long time, since 1990, and it's my special place. It's my home, really. It really is. And every time I come back, I find more new, interesting things that the ranch is offering. It's been transformative. I've had huge life lessons living here. It's helped me through some very rough times and some changes in my life, and I adore this place. One of the things as a doctor I've noticed over the years, and I'm a holistic doctor, is that patients want a more heart-centered approach to their treatment. They want you to see them as a person and not just as a illness or a condition. And so what I think is really important about that kind of work is that focusing more on having that connection with your patients, or in corporate world as well, or in any work you do, is essential to what's coming for us in the next, you know, how many years. I'm in my 60s, and what I know now is that, you know, I'm a bit of an astrology person, so Pluto is coming for the first time in a very long time into Aquarius out of Capricorn. Capricorn's all about structures and linearity and right brain, etc., whereas Aquarius is about cooperation and supporting people and communicating as a group and doing things for the good of others and in a bigger way. And I really appreciate all the ranch does in this area for me, and I hope you enjoy it too.
I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. I hope you are enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply.
Do you think, like, we were talking about how the design of the body, do you think it's a posture thing that I feel like 60%, I mean, I work with a lot of people that are the baby boomer age.
Yes.
I feel like so many of them have low back pain.
Yes.
Sometimes I think, ooh, was that like a flawed design when we were designed? Or why do so many people have that issue?
That's a great question. Well, think of it's the bottom of your spine.
Right.
So it's taking the weight of your upper body. And if you're in a compression model where you're sitting a lot, your hip flexors get tighter, which will pull the spine maybe a little bit more anterior, meaning pulls the lumbar spine forward and compress the joints a little bit more. And also, if they're not moving the lower back on a daily basis through all of its movement planes, they're not decompressing, getting all the tissue to move. So think of between your head and your tail, you have over 100 joints when you include the ribs.
Wow.
And if you don't move all those joints every day in the ranges they're designed to move, things get a little more compressed and tight. So I think That's basically what we have. We have a compressed population. And then if you have pain, if you don't have an understanding of your body, where the typical go-to is either towards ibuprofen or go to the doctor because I think there's something wrong with my back.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth is, pain is just that signal saying, your body's saying, hey, I think you should move me.
I think the importance of body awareness
yes.
comes into play there, because you mentioned, you know, I know you mentioned we have so many joints, but and their range of motion, what are they designed to do? And not all of us know what is the normal range for each joint. So I think that people have to kind of know that in order to be smart about how they move.
And that's what I teach when I come to the ranch. I teach people, I give them a lesson on the spine, I show them, you know, I'll ask them, so where does actually movement happen in your spine?
Right.
And people are curious, but they haven't been taught this information. And it happens right. in between, it happens in the disc space between the vertebral bodies, mm-hmm. but then it mainly happens in what's called the facet joints.
Right.
And in the facet joints, they're oriented differently in each part of your spine. In your lower back, they're oriented more front to back. So what they're really good at is flexion and extension and lateral flexion. Mm-hmm. But they don't rotate. They're not designed to rotate because they run into each other.
Right.
So if you go to a yoga class and you don't have an understanding of your spine and you try to force your lower back to twist, a lot of time your lower back and your hips are going to be sore after. And it's not because you did from the yoga. It's because you did the movement badly.
Right.
So I don't think there is bad exercise. I think there's bad movement. And then when you get to your thoracic spine, they completely change. They orient this way and they slide around each other like this, which they side to side. So they're really good for rotation mm-hmm. and lateral flexion, but they're limited in extension and flexion because you don't want too much movement. You have your vital organs here, your heart and lungs, and your ribs tie in there. So they limit movement, but we want to hold on to what we got.
Right.
Yeah. And people tend to be in flexion all the time. So they're hanging off their muscles with the joints in their mid back open. And the mid back muscles tending to be a little weaker because they're held in length.
Right.
So from a postural perspective, getting people to realize that they need to move their spinal joints, then strengthen their back muscles a little bit more, their posture starts to improve. And it doesn't have to be hard, complicated stuff. I usually show them very specific things they can do.
Do you think that as we age, the way we move or the way we, say, train our bodies changes? Like for me, just personally, as I've gotten older, I feel like my ego has kind of checked into the back seat sometimes with the way I train and what I feel like I need to do. And the mm-hmm. example you gave was the yoga, because I used to do that hot, crazy yoga where, like,
me too.
The further you could move, the better you looked to everyone around you and the better you thought you were doing. But now I'm like, it's not worth the pain the next day to move that
completely
way.
Agree. I think this is a lesson that the public needs to learn. Think of exercise comes in three categories: mm-hmm. fix, fun, foundation.
That's good. The three fix, S.
Yeah, fix is when you've got an issue, you got to go to a physical therapist, or you got to go to somebody like me who's going to help you heal an injury or recover from something. Fun is when you go run, bike, swim, do stuff where you're play frisbee, soccer, where you're exercising, but you're not really paying great attention to how you're organizing your body. Then foundation training, the primary goal is to upgrade how you move and relate to gravity and use your body. And that's like Pilates or working with somebody who teaches you functional fitness. Right. That should be the primary way that people exercise, especially as you age. Then you can go do fun stuff with minimal risk. Mm-hmm. Where you're actually creating general physical preparedness to do whatever you want in your life. And that needs, and I think that's an educational point. I don't think most of the public understands that their foundation training should be the primary way they exercise.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. You could mix and match. You could do like 15, 20 minutes, 4 to 5 days a week, specific exercise that are related to what you mainly need. And I recommend for people to work with somebody privately for some sessions to understand that, or come to my stuff at the ranch and I'll teach you.
I want to make a little plug. I'm going to plug it at the end too, but you're going to be at the ranch twice in 2025.
I am. Yes.
You're going to be there May 24th and October 18th. And I
very
don't know
much looking forward.
How did you get those? Those are the two of the best times on the planet at the ranch. So good for you.
Thank you. I was very excited to hear that.
Yeah, those are good. Now, I want to go back to Pilates. I'm not really talking a lot about with you because I think most of us know what that is. I've been obsessed with the Franklin method, but I also want to talk about your somatic coach. And what does somatic actually mean? What is a somatic coach?
Somatics is really in relationship to the life of your body. Like your not just your mind, your mind and body are never separate. Mm-hmm. And inside of our tissue, you would say, lives your history, all of your wounds, all of your learnings, your ancestors. And wow. Your body is a resource for, it's an informant for what's important to you. So one thing you'll learn in somatics that I teach is do a centering practice where you can think of inside of your length, your postural line also lives your dignity, your sense of compassion, your sense of skillful action, and your vision for your future. So you really can include your body and how you think about your life and feel into yourself of what's important to you. You can learn as a practice to feel yourself. What do I long for? What's right. missing for me? What do I want to move towards? What do I want to let go of? That it's not just an intellectual process. It's more of a tapping into your own intelligence. And from a somatic coaching perspective, you know, coaching is a big thing in the world, as you know. But in from a somatic perspective, you include the body. You ask somebody when they're talking about what's important to them, what's coming up for you physically? Where do you feel that in your body? Say you want to be able to make a new move. You want to be able to take an action you haven't been able to take, whether it's have a courageous conversation with somebody you need to have or be a better leader. Including your body is a part of that.
That's a totally new way to look at stuff.
It's so vital too, you know? Yeah. And I think if we recognize that we have our own dignity, we can see dignity in other people and we can acknowledge that too. Because I think we all want to be recognized for what's behind our story and our letters at the end of our name, that we're all in this together.
Right. You had something else you mentioned that, so do you think that tendencies are passed down genetically from generation to generation?
Absolutely. It's in our bones.
Wow. My body should be in a mental institute.
but you can think of it another way too. Like think of any of our behaviors that we all get to a point in our life where some of our behaviors, even though they had a purpose at a certain point and got a certain result, we realize that they're not the best anymore. So those are our conditioned tendencies.
Right.
But those conditioned tendencies, we need to dignify them because they were earned from an honest place.
Mm-hmm.
They helped us survive.
Right.
And they helped our ancestors survive. So we want to, and I think for myself and everybody I've talked to, when we go to start doing work on ourselves, the mistake we make is we make those tendencies wrong.
Yeah.
And instead of dignify them, don't fight with them. But now you can even think of them when that comes up in me around a behavior or something and say, hey, Tom, I got your back. You're going to be in the back seat now. Adult Tom is going to make a better choice right now.
Right. It's a very non-judgmental way of looking at yourself, which I think is great. Yeah.
It's so vital. That way you're not fighting with yourself and we're all the same that way. We're not different. You know, we all have. I think we are all evolving, like you asked me earlier. I think we're evolving in terms of our awareness and our spirituality, but also our body is in this long trajectory of evolution too.
Do you have any tips for someone who's trying to just raise their awareness of their body and some of the things you were talking about?
So think of a big word called proprioception. Mm-hmm. Proprioception is really just means my ability to feel myself in space. It's related to tension levels, position, effort, posture are all proprioceptively feedback loops to our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So through like tapping your body, like say you mentioned, what could somebody do when they're sitting all day in part of their movement break to get up and just tap your whole body, tap your arm, all sides, tap your neck, tap your lower back, tap your hips. Then you're helping your body feel better, feel more, and our body will naturally let go of tension when it notices the tension that's there.
Wow. So that's an actual physical way to make your body aware.
Absolutely. And that's I use it in my classes all the time.
Yeah.
If you have people tap one side of their body and they like all the way down to their leg, and then they check their balance on that side, it's already better than the other side.
Right.
Because their brain is actually let go of tension and they're more connected.
That's great. What now? You've said you've been in this industry for like 40 years. So let's say you started really early. What was your motivation to care so much about movement and
I'm the youngest of 12 kids, and I have I have eight brothers, and I we're all physical. So when I was 11 years old, I built a gym in my cellar with my goal of assaulting all my brothers. but I didn't know at the time that I really loved movement, and I invited all my neighborhood friends to come over, and I was training the whole neighborhood when I was 11 years old. Wow. So I didn't know I'd be doing this now, but I just found movement as a way to feel safer in the world, connect to myself, and it was just a great link between me and my friends. Right. And then I moved to California when I was 20 years old, and I was going to school and managing Gold's Gym at night. You know, over the next couple of years when I was going to school, I just watched how people worked out. And this was in the early 80s, and there was the training business, personal training, had barely started. Mm-hmm. There was a couple, I think there was one other trainer in Gold's Gym at the time. And I just watched how people trained, and I didn't think they trained very well from my perspective. So a couple of years in, I started my own training business. And within 3 months, I had 40 appointments a week. And I just took off from then, and I've been that busy ever since. And I just kept taking continued education every year for the last 40 years. I just kept staying curious, and I got more curious as I learned what was possible to help people.
Right. Is there like one or two things that you do for yourself on a regular basis for your own well-being?
I do breath work every morning. I do breathing exercises, and I meditate every day. I'd say that's a big, that's a part of bringing in concentration and learning how to internally relax. Mm-hmm. But I do either Pilates or the Franklin method of movement. I do Franklin movement, mobility of my spine and my hips and my body every day. Mm-hmm. I'll do that in the morning when I get up, and then I'll combine that with meditation and a nice cup of coffee. And that just gets me started.
And I suppose for you that the checking into your body and your posture and your mechanics is just natural at this point.
Different. It's like, it's still something that I have to check in because, you know, we're, think of like a, our body's like a fighter jet, and a fighter jet is inherently unstable, but that allows it to do all these amazing turns. Mm-hmm. Like the wall behind you is really stable, but it doesn't move very well. Mm-hmm. So our body needs to be regularly tended to.
Right.
You know, so I tend to it, you know, some days if I'm driving a lot, if I go up and ski, I'll feel my body's a little bit off when I come home. So I have to like reset and just not be freaked out by that. Just be with it and go, okay, I'm just going to pay attention, do some stuff to relieve tension on my lower back. I use, in the Franklin method, you use props too. You'll use these little balls where you can roll out your hips and your spine that are amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'll just can take tension out of my body in 10 to 15 minutes, and I'm already reset in a better place. That's what I teach. Mm-hmm. And I'll teach that a lot before in my Pilates stuff. I'll teach that before we do hard conditioning stuff. First, take the tension out, and then it feels better. The results are better, and people leave the class feeling more organized.
I certainly know at the ranch, people love taking your classes. They're always completely packed. And and again, you'll be here in May and October this year. It's on our events calendar, and we look forward to that. And in closing, because I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I read this thing that you put on in your bio, and I'm going to read it to you. You put, choice follows awareness, and energy follows attention. The ranch is the best place to expand our ability to make wise choices to live well.
Yes.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
It's really nice. Yeah.
So. And I completely agree with that. I mean, think of that is. It's like we were saying before, like your body is perfect all the time. If we're willing to bring our attention to our body, we have better choices.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really enjoy this. It went by so fast. So thanks for spending the time, and I will look forward to seeing you in May.
Me too. So good. So good to be with you, Barry.
I always enjoy Tom's energy, and I always learn something when I spend time with him. Today, I was reminded how amazing our bodies are. They are the perfect partner for our mind and our essence. Tom reminds us that it's important to understand how our body was designed to move and how it was designed to protect us and keep our relationship with gravity healthy. Our bodies were made to move. They weren't made to stay in sedentary positions or in any one position for extended periods of time. We spend so much time sitting at a desk, sitting in a car, sitting on the couch. Tom reminds us, it's so simple, set an alarm, get up, move every hour. Have an awareness of where your body is in space. It's intuition. It's to slow down, turn off your mind, and listen to your body. Learning how to be kind to your body will increase your well-being. If you want to learn more about Tom's teachings, we're so lucky he'll be here twice in 2025. Tom will be here the week of May 24th and again the week of October 18th. Until next time, this is Barry wishing you health, daily joy, and a healthy body.